Hi, everyone. I'm investigative journalist Kylie Lowe, and I'm here to tell you about my weekly podcast, Dark Down East. Each episode, I take you to my home in New England, where we truly get to know the people at the center of the cases we dive into. Join me and dig into some cases you won't hear about anywhere else. Listen to new episodes of Dark Down East every Thursday, or check out the extensive catalog of existing episodes now, wherever you listen to podcasts.
It was just such a shock. She thought he was killed, and she thought he was poisoned. I just didn't know what to think.
He wanted to have kids. He wanted to start a family.
Otherwise healthy 41-year-old men usually do not drop dead.
Correct. Some things just aren't adding up.
You believe there's a possibility that your husband was poisoned?
Not even for a second did it ever enter my mind that he would be in danger.
They come up and ask a lot of questions.
You're in the crosshairs.
I'm in the crosshairs.
It was horrifying. It's hard to even imagine that someone could be so evil.
In this world, we like to think that we can tell the difference between good and evil. But sometimes evil puts on a mask and comes to life's party as its opposite. A loved one. A friend. Someone we think we can help. And by the time we figure out that we're wrong, it's too late. And so with that in mind, meet Frank Rodriguez, a guy who went looking for troubled souls.
He was very drawn towards people that were broken. Even though I don't have a lot, I just want, you know, what I have, I want to give.
Frank gave a lot, did a lot of good in his life, until he ran across another soul who was not just troubled or broken, but pure evil. Frank grew up in rural Illinois. One of six kids, he played football, loved baseball. His sisters, Carmen and Shirley, remember most that he loved kidding around with his siblings.
Dry sense of humor. He'd say something and you're not sure if you're supposed to laugh at it, but he was joking.
You know, funny jokes and little tricks and things. Prankster is the word I'm going for.
After high school, Frank joined the Navy. It was around that time that he married a local girl. But that line about the sea being a jealous mistress is true.
His first wife was tired of him traveling all over and being gone for 6 months at a time. After he got out, he was really kind of a lost soul. He just really didn't know what he wanted to do. And then she ended up leaving him anyway.
After the divorce, Frank was at loose ends. Different jobs, different relationships. He felt as if he were floundering. Until he found, first, religion.
Is there any questions?
No, Sergeant!
And then a place called Angel Gate Academy.
He just loved that job. He loved working with the kids. Mm-hmm.
Angel Gate was run by the California National Guard from its base in San Luis Obispo on California's central coast. It was a military academy where city kids who were headed in the wrong direction learned order, discipline, and respect. How was Frank with the kids?
Frank was awesome with the kids.
Chad Holloway was Frank's supervisor and friend.
I never met a person that was better around the kids. If they were acting out, he would kind of like say things to get them to do the right thing. Plus, he kind of like used me as a bad guy.
Good cop, bad cop.
Exactly. Frank was always a good cop.
As rewarding as it was for Frank to help his students learn skills for a successful life, he also found it thrilling to take these city kids kayaking or camping, or just to hang out by the ocean, which many of them had never even seen. It also left him wanting kids of his own.
I remember him talking a lot about he wanted to have kids. I mean, he wanted kids really bad. He wanted to start a family.
His sisters say Frank thought his faith would guide him there.
He was big into believing that God was going to give him signs of what was good for his life.
And then one day at church, Frank ran into a woman he worked with at Angel Gate.
He called Mom to tell her that he had met this woman, Angelina, and that she was his soulmate. And our mom was excited. Oh my goodness, she called me up. She was so excited. Frank's met someone.
Her name was Angelina Morales. She had also been in the military. She was as devout a Christian as Frank. Their romance was a whirlwind.
There's my baby.
You can hear the excitement about this new love in this video that Angelina shot of Frank.
I can't wait to marry you.
Can't wait to marry you too, baby.
They met in February and married in April. Angelina had a 9-year-old daughter named Autumn, so instant family.
I liked Frank. Frank was a really good guy, seemed very down to earth.
And good for her.
Seemed very good for her.
Tom Fuller is Autumn's dad and Angelina's ex.
Usually, guy in your position, not too crazy about the husbands who come after him.
With Frank, it was different.
At the wedding, Frank vowed to be a good husband, and he made a promise to Autumn to be a great stepdad. Then Frank, who loved working with kids, was offered a teaching job in Los Angeles. Frank's life seemed to be coming together the way he had always prayed that it would. At least, that's how it seemed.
When was the last time you saw Frank?
I saw Frank the Tuesday after Labor Day 2000.
Frank wanted to earn some extra money, and he agreed to chaperone a group of new students on their way to Angel Gate. He rode with them on a bus from LA to San Luis Obispo, where he met up with his old friend and boss, Chad.
How'd he look?
Frank looked absolutely terrible.
4 days later, Frank Rodriguez was dead. What had happened to Frank? A warning from his wife.
I said, please don't go.
You believe there's a possibility that your husband was poisoned.
Who could possibly want to do him harm?
He looked at Frank and went dead on, eye to eye.
Frank Rodriguez was finally coming into his own. A new bride, a new family, a new job. But then, at 3 a.m., after just 5 months of marriage, Frank's new bride Angelina found him unconscious on their bedroom floor and called for help. It was too late. Frank Rodriguez was dead. His family was stunned. He'd been a healthy man.
My mother called me after Angelina called her on the day that Frank died. And Mom just said she lost it. She started screaming and just slammed the phone. It was horrifying.
He was only 41. Frank left behind a widow and a 9-year-old stepdaughter to whom Frank had become very close.
How'd your daughter react to Frank dying?
She was devastated, but she was also very confused.
She wasn't the only one confused. The coroner's office found no obvious cause of death, natural or unnatural. No heart attack, no trauma, nothing. Toxicology tests found a little Vicodin in Frank's system, but not enough to kill anyone. His family was at a loss, especially his wife Angelina, who seemed to be groping for answers, trying to make sense of what happened to Frank.
She called me almost every day to talk about it. She thought he was killed and she thought he was poisoned.
The idea seemed, on the face of it, crazy. Who would want to kill Frank?
I just didn't know what to think. It was just such a shock.
Homicide detectives were called in, even though there was zero evidence of a homicide.
Any chance that this was going to turn out not to be a murder and that what Frank died of was either natural causes or food poisoning or something like that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
L.A. County Sheriff's homicide detective Brian Steinwand says his job was just to keep moving forward.
We were dependent upon what the coroner's office was doing, what they would find or wouldn't find. But in the meantime, you can't stop investigating.
So a few days after Frank's death, they spoke with Angelina about her suspicions.
We're here because we understand there's a you have some information or believe there's a possibility that your husband was poisoned.
Angelina had a lot to tell the detectives about Frank's final days, about what she thought had happened to him, and why.
So we're going to start from the beginning.
Angelina said that after his trip on the bus to Angel Gate, Frank got sick with what they both thought at first was stomach flu.
It wasn't like a constant. It was like maybe once every half hour. It'd grow a little bit up, a little bit up.
But then Frank got so sick that Angelina took him to the ER. The doctor said all Frank needed was rest and fluids, and he'd get better. But 2 days later, Frank was dead, and Angelina now told detectives she didn't believe it had been the stomach flu at all. She thought that something happened to Frank on that trip to Angel Gate.
Was he feeling okay when he went up?
Oh, yeah. I even got up with him that morning.
Angelina told detectives she had urged Frank not to chaperone those students, and specifically, not to go back to Angel Gate.
Did you tell him before he went? Were you concerned?
Oh, yeah. We argued. I said, please don't go.
She was worried that Frank, who was so trusting, wouldn't be safe.
I mean, he looks for the good in everybody. You know, he thinks everybody can change.
Angelina then said why she was afraid. It turned out that when she and Frank worked together at Angel Gate, they became involved in something potentially dangerous.
We're both very strong Christians.
Okay.
So we would pray together over the program. We are both very prophetic. Where some people would call it their gut. And we both recognize a new situation.
The situations? Angelina said she and Frank became convinced a person working at Angel Gate was engaged in inappropriate behavior with some of the students. Angelina said she'd reported the man to authorities, and he now had a motive to hurt her or Frank.
This person had said, if anybody jeopardized my job, I will kill them. He looked at Frank, and he went like this, and he went right, I mean, dead on, eye to eye.
Despite her fears, Angelina said that night when Frank returned from Angel Gate, he told her everything seemed fine there.
They were great. They walked up to me. They hugged me. They, you know, said they missed me. And somebody in the office, he didn't say who. I think he knew I'd be pissed off. Said somebody in the office said, am I hungry or thirsty, and gave me Gatorade and cookies.
But now she wondered, was there something in that Gatorade? Did that friendly welcome hide something much more sinister? Because the man Angelina said had offered Frank food and drink was the same man Angelina had accused, the same man she said had threatened Frank months earlier.
My instincts are usually pretty right on. At least that's my track record for myself.
And your instincts right now are what?
Sergeant Holloway.
Sergeant Holloway. Chad Holloway. Frank's former boss. Frank's friend.
I was beyond mad. I can't even describe how angry I was.
Chad Holloway, from friend to suspect?
Did you say you would like to put your gun to the head of the person that was doing this?
Something to that effect, I did.
It was almost the perfect crime. Everyone was distracted, their attention elsewhere. Stacks of cold, hard cash sitting on the table, unguarded. Who wouldn't be tempted to slowly reach their hand out and steal a pile of Monopoly money from the banker? Monopoly is one of those games that could bring out everyone's most devious selves, and Monopoly Go takes that gleeful mischievousness to your phone in a wildly popular twist on the classic that you can play throughout your day, anywhere, anytime. collect rent from friends on iconic properties, bankrupt them by pulling a heist on their vaults. And Monopoly Go has timed tournaments where you can team up with friends to unlock big prizes and try to top the leaderboards. Whether you're helping out your friends or going head-to-head for riches, Monopoly Go is an absolute blast. Download it now free on the App Store or Google Play.
Days after Frank Rodriguez died, he was honored like a fallen soldier at the military cemetery in Riverside, California.
It was very hard to come out here for the funeral.
Angelina's daughter, Autumn, who was in the house when Frank died, said goodbye in a way only a child could.
Autumn put a teddy bear in Frank's coffin. She was a sweet little girl. She really was.
That last goodbye was a struggle for Frank's family.
It was very hard on Mom. She did go into a very deep depression after that.
As the people who loved him mourned, detectives with the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department were trying to find answers. They drove 200 miles north to the rolling hills and small-town charm of San Luis Obispo, to Angel Gate, to check out Angelina's unsettling story, that she had accused Frank's friend Chad Holloway of misconduct with students, that Chad was furious over that, and that all of it might be the reason behind Frank's unexplained death.
They were asking us our opinion of who had access to Frank.
Richard Ronzon worked at Angel Gate at the time. Ronzon told police he hadn't noticed Chad talking with Frank, but he did remember how upset Chad was about Angelina's charges.
Chad was beside himself. I have never seen him that angry.
Chad Holloway was pretty angry about that accusation and expressed to some people that he would like to deal very harshly with whoever had done that to him.
Yeah, he was initially very angry about it, yes.
Angry enough to kill?
Who knows? We don't know Chad Holloway very well yet. We get to know him. That's what we needed to do in this particular case.
What detectives call getting to know you doesn't feel quite so friendly when you're a potential murder suspect.
I was under the impression, before they talked to me, that they were so convinced I did this, that they had stopped at the sheriff's department, had basically told them to prepare to book me.
You're in the crosshairs.
I'm in the crosshairs.
Before they ever met Chad, detectives had already learned something important, that the misconduct allegations against him had been thoroughly investigated by local law enforcement and found to be completely baseless. But the detectives also knew a false allegation can still be a very good motive for murder.
That's one of the worst things that a teacher or instructor can do to a kid under his or her tutelage or control.
Yes.
And it's also one of the worst things to be accused of if you didn't do it.
That was probably the scariest thing that had ever happened to me in life. I've been to war. I was in Desert Storm. A lot of things happen in combat. I had never in my life been that scared.
Scared, and he admitted, angry.
I was beyond mad. I can't even describe how angry I was.
Did you say you would like to put your gun to the head of the person that was doing this to you and pull the trigger?
Something to that effect I did.
But Chad Holloway insisted to detectives and to us, whatever threats he made were out of anger and frustration, and he would never have followed through.
When you said that you wanted to take a gun and put it to the head of the person who made those accusations against you, you didn't know it was Angelina you were talking about at the time.
I did not.
But once you found out it was Angelina who made those accusations, I'm guessing you probably thought about putting your gun to her head.
Absolutely not.
No?
No.
Chad also said that what Angelina told detectives about Frank's last visit to Angel Gate never actually happened.
Were you working in the office?
No, I wasn't working in the office.
When you last saw Frank, did you offer him a Gatorade or anything to drink?
No.
Clearly, someone was lying. The question was, who?
All I heard was, ask them about antifreeze.
Who and what had killed Frank? Investigators have a secret mission for Sergeant Holloway.
You say, I'm in.
You better believe it.
When her husband died suddenly, Angelina Rodriguez quickly shared her suspicions with detectives that Frank had been poisoned by a former co-worker who carried a grudge. But so far, there was no solid evidence against Chad. So detectives also looked at everyone who was close to Frank, including his new wife.
You talked to other people about Frank and Angelina's marriage?
Yes.
And?
We find some interesting things out.
For one thing, Frank was Angelina's fourth husband, but not necessarily her first choice. People who worked with Angelina and Frank at Angelgate said Angelina initially had her eye on a different guy.
She was interested in a gentleman that worked there also that was somewhat of a cowboy, wore cowboy boots, had a hat. All of a sudden, she showed up with like a cowboy up bumper sticker on her car and, a hat in the back seat.
All of a sudden, she's a cowgirl.
And now she's a cowgirl. And then when he didn't want anything to do with her, she had recognized Frank was a religious man.
And the next thing you know,
she's got a Bible on her back window of her car and I Love Jesus bumper stickers.
To a lot of people, it seemed Angelina was shopping pretty hard for a man. And would do what was necessary to get one.
She was pretty much like a chameleon based on some of the behaviors we learned about her when she was working up at the Angel Gate Academy.
They learned that after meeting Angelina, Frank had become less close to many of his friends at Angel Gate. Then when the couple moved south, Frank seemed to cut off his own family.
He called me in May on Mother's Day and said that I can't talk long, she's monitoring my calls.
None of that fit the profile of a loving wife, or later, a grieving widow, when soon after Frank's death, Angelina moved back up north and left behind some of Frank's things.
We found it very odd that she took his dress shoes from the service, some of his uniform stuff, some of his medals and stuff like that that he had, and they were all in the trash can.
She threw them away?
The things in the trash were really shocking, things that you'd think you'd keep from your husband that you loved.
All that was curious, but there was one thing above all others that made detectives suspect Angelina might be involved in Frank's death, something straight out of Homicide 101. It was the way Angelina kept bringing up Frank's life insurance.
Frank and I sat down when we got married and said, look, we need to cover our butts. If something should happen to either one of us, we need to take care of each other.
How long after Frank died did Angelina call the insurance company to enter a claim?
Roughly within 8 hours.
So the same day?
Same morning.
But now the insurance is like, well, they probably won't pay it because it's so new until the coroner says what the cause of death is. Well, what do I do? Sleep in my car till November?
As the days went on and the coroner still didn't rule, Angelina grew more and more impatient.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Did you guys get anything at all from the coroner?
Angelina kept calling, and Steinwand kept recording those calls.
No word from the coroner yet?
Well, they don't have anything yet. It takes time for this type of stuff.
Oh.
Unless they know what they're looking for.
Detectives saw an opportunity. Remember, they needed the same thing Angelina did, just for different reasons.
We need a cause of death, and at this time, we're thinking that she knows what that cause of death is.
They thought Angelina might be telling the truth about one thing, that Frank had been poisoned. And they also knew what Frank's sister had told them, something very strange that Angelina had said to her.
She says, there are lots of ways you could poison someone. She said, for instance, she says, we have a flower out here called oleander.
Oleander thrives in warm climates like Southern California. The leaves and flowers are toxic, but only deadly in large quantities or if the poison is somehow concentrated. And Angelina seemed to know how to do that.
She said, you can make a tea out of that. You can make a soup out of it. And, you know, it's a poison. When we were riding in the limousine, she pointed right out, said, those are oleander bushes.
But Angelina wouldn't quite spit it out for the detectives.
We keep asking her, well, Angelina, what poison would Chad Holloway have given Frank?
It could be anything. It could be the flowers on the road. It could be something.
On the road?
Yeah.
Flowers on the road.
Those, the heck are those? You know, they grow in the middle of the highway. I think they're azalea.
At this point, we believe she knows exactly what it is. There's no doubt.
But she's trying to get you to say it.
She would rather, I think, have us say it. And, of course, we'd rather have her say it.
Try as they might, they couldn't get Angelina to say the word oleander. Still, she kept calling them about Chad, and one day delivered another clue straight to investigators. Someone had called her, she said, and told her something big.
Okay, it was about maybe 5 or 10 after 8.
In the morning?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because I was on my way back from dropping my daughter off at school. I would get this call, and it was blocked. They said they wanted to tell me what was going on because they had a lot of respect for Frank, but they couldn't tell me who they were because they know how Holloway is. And they said, you need to know a conversation I had with Holloway. He had said, they do try and track it down. They can't pin me because it started breaking up, and all I heard was ask them about antifreeze.
Antifreeze, not oleander.
Not oleander this time.
Had antifreeze even been on your radar screen at this point?
At this point, no, I don't believe it had been.
But naming a new poison was only one interesting detail in this conversation. Remember, Angelina had said the anonymous informant called her shortly after 8 a.m.
You got her phone records?
I got her phone records, yes.
And?
Lo and behold, there had not been any calls anywhere near incoming or outgoing to Angelina's phone at that time.
In trying once again to implicate Chad Holloway, Angelina had implicated herself. Now, detectives again went to see Chad, this time to talk about Angelina.
Angelina Rodriguez, that was the last person that I ever wanted to see, ever wanted to hear her name have anything to do with whatsoever.
And then the investigators say to you, we want you to help build the case against her. And you say, I'm in.
You better believe it.
We befriended her, we went to her house.
Detectives devise a plan to trap Angelina. But Angelina has a plan of her own.
Wow, this has got me shaken.
For true crime fans, nothing is more chilling than watching Dateline.
Have you ever seen such a thing before?
For podcast fans, nothing is more chilling than listening.
What goes through your mind when you make a discovery like that?
And when you subscribe to Dateline Premium, it gets even better.
Excuse me if I sound a little skeptical.
Every episode is ad-free.
Ooh, wow.
So this could be your ace in the hole.
And not just ad-free, you also get early access to new intriguing mysteries and exclusive bonus content.
So what were you afraid of?
Dateline Premium. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or datelinepremium.com.
You ready for what's coming?
Hey guys, Willie Geist here, reminding you to check out the Sunday Sit Down podcast. On this week's episode, I get together with 16-time Grammy winner Alicia Keys to talk about a career full of beautiful music and the new Broadway musical inspired by her own life. You can get our conversation now for free wherever you download your podcasts.
For 3 months, detectives had been talking with Angelina, who was so eager to collect on her husband's life insurance that she'd let slip some tantalizing bits of information. First, that her husband may have been poisoned, and that the poison might be what she called that flower in the road, or possibly antifreeze. Finally, the coroner's report came back. The finding? Frank Rodriguez was killed by ethylene glycol, the key ingredient in antifreeze. The tox screen also found oleander. Now, detectives felt they knew for sure Frank had been murdered. They knew how, and they thought they knew who. Not Chad, but Angelina. But to make this case stick, they'd need a little more. So they kept Angelina talking.
We befriended her. We went in her house, and first thing she did was offer us coffee. My partner and I kept kicking each other on the table. Oh, no, we're good. Thank you. No, we're good.
My instincts are usually...
From the beginning, Angelina had tried to cast suspicion on Frank's friend and co-worker, Chad Holloway.
Sergeant Holloway.
Chad, she said, was the killer. But detectives didn't believe her and instead enlisted Chad to help set a trap for her.
And the idea is what here?
See what kind of mistake she may make.
They asked Chad to call Angelina while they listened in. She had done her best to put Chad in the gun sights of law enforcement. Now came his chance to return the favor.
Hello?
Angelina?
Yes?
Why did you tell the police that I poisoned Frank with antifreeze?
Who is this?
My main question, Angelina, is how...
How did you get my number?
I want an Angelina, I'm just wondering how in the world... This could ruin my life.
At one point you say, Angelina, you're going to ruin my life. Which actually, although it's maybe part of the script for that call, it's kind of true, given what she tried to do to you before.
It was. But inside, I knew that it's the other way around. You're not going to ruin my life anymore. It's your life that's going to be ruined because of this.
You know what? You need to call the investigator. I'm ending this conversation.
Okay, Angelina.
Then, within a minute of Chad hanging up, Angelina called the cops and gave them quite a different version of the call they had just listened to.
I just got a phone call from Holloway.
You can call me again?
Yes. He said, how can you, the detectives just told me that they think I killed Frank with antifreeze. And
that's what we told him.
And he says, you know, I wouldn't go spreading these things or else. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I said, I don't need to be talking to you. And he says, well, they'll never be able to catch me anyway. But he says, you know, you just got to watch your back. He says, you better watch your back.
Oh, God. Okay.
I am scared to death.
What Angelina should have been scared of was that the cops were on to her two obvious lies. This one about what Chad supposedly said to her, and the previous phantom call about antifreeze. But Angelina still hadn't admitted anything, at least not to detectives. Then they found a good friend of Angelina's, a confidant named Palmyra. She told the cops that just months after the wedding, Angelina was already bored with Frank and cheating on him.
They were sitting around, I guess, like girls do, and talking about killing their husbands, joking around how they would do it.
As girls do.
As girls probably all do. My wife's probably doing right now.
The friend quoted Angelina as saying that she didn't want to divorce Frank because he just bought life insurance.
There's another conversation on the telephone with Palmyra. Angelina told her she was making a milkshake for Frank. And a special milkshake for him. And Palmyra questioned if Frank was sick. And Angelina told her, not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Of course, Angelina had no idea what the cops knew. She thought they were still investigating Chad. And she was still happy to help them do that. For example, detectives told Angelina, they couldn't figure out how Chad knew when Frank was coming to Angel Gate. He would have had to have known when, they told her, so that he could have his poison ready.
And then miraculously,
a fax shows up.
It was an Angel Gate roster for the day of Frank's visit, with Frank's name conspicuously written in.
This is a fax that, what, came right to Sheriff's Homicide?
Correct.
Well, that was convenient.
Very convenient.
The fax did not include the sender's name. But it did send a clear message.
This is the cover sheet to the fax that was received anonymously at Sheriff's Homicide. Why is Chad still free?
Chad never knew how hard Angelina had pushed the cops to arrest him.
Wow, this has got me shaken.
5 months after her husband's death, police dropped in at Angelina's house.
Good morning.
Morning. Morning.
Angelina thinks their next stop will be Chad's place. It won't.
Holloway couldn't have done this.
For the next 35 minutes, Steinwand and his partner try to get Angelina to give it up. They lay out the facts.
The only information, the only person that supplied any information that Frank was poisoned was you. No one else knew that Frank was poisoned. Only you. Only you knew Oleander. In addition to that, antifreeze. Nobody in this entire investigation told us about antifreeze.
They tell her the poisons were still in Frank's stomach, which meant he ingested them days after his return from Angel Gate and within hours of his death, meaning Angelina was the only one who could have given them to him. And detectives tell her that all along, while she thought she was playing them, they were playing her.
This entire time, we have used everything you said and followed up on everything you've done and said. Quite frankly, it's hard to remember all those lies.
Angelina told them they were wrong.
I didn't kill my husband.
Okay.
You can stand up.
Are you arresting me?
Yes, you are under arrest for the murder of Frank.
No! I didn't kill my husband!
We also have a search warrant for your apartment.
Angelina, we can prove that you did.
Angelina Rodriguez might seem beaten, but she had a few more punches left in her. Just wait.
Please, I didn't kill my husband, I swear.
A secret plan from inside prison and another undercover sting.
Something's happened to your friend.
Then a haunting question from deep in the past. Had Angelina killed before?
It was like reliving her death all over again.
Angelina Rodriguez was charged with the murder of her husband, Frank. It turned out that might not be the worst thing she'd ever done or ever would do.
You think that if they made it look like a suicide, they'd be bright enough to figure a way to do that?
What you're hearing is the wheels of a mind turning. That's Angelina in jail, speaking through the air vents with her neighbor in solitary.
They can do it. Robbery gone bad.
Angelina apparently believed the statements of her friend Palmyra about how Angelina was bored with Frank and wanted a life insurance payout were the most damaging evidence against her. So it seemed Angelina made a decision, hire someone to get rid of her friend.
This is Angelina inside the county jail trying to set up a hit on Palmyra outside.
Correct.
To keep her from testifying.
Correct.
The inmate Angelina was talking with turned her in, and soon detectives were recording Angelina's conversations.
If they get cyanide, then, you know, that would do it real quick, you know what I'm saying?
If that sounds cold-blooded, consider this. Angelina made clear she'd help care for Palmyra's children. After, that is, she had their mother killed.
If it came down to it, I would adopt her kids. That's how much I love her kids, but I don't live her anymore. Does that make sense?
You take care of the kids, but she got to go.
Yeah. That was what I was thinking.
Police told Palmyra what Angelina was up to and asked for her help. This time, they got really creative.
We basically stage her death. We'd have her on her bed in her house with a fake bullet hole and fake blood.
The picture's pretty convincing.
It was very convincing, yes.
they sent an undercover cop posing as a bad guy with pictures in hand to visit Angelina in jail.
Something's happened to your friend. Okay?
Who? What?
Right. Okay?
Where did you get those from?
You need to contact your family. Okay?
Oh my God.
Angelina's initial response was, "Oh my God, oh my God, I was only kidding."
I thought you was kidding.
Shortly thereafter, it was, "Oh my God, I'm going home.
I am so ready to go home."
You believe she killed her husband?
No doubt.
And she tried to kill a witness against her?
Correct.
Anybody else?
Her baby.
In the course of their investigation into Frank's death, detectives found out that in 1993, Angelina's daughter, Alicia, choked on her pacifier and died. They also learned that Angelina sued the pacifier manufacturer and settled for more than $700,000. What's more, she collected life insurance on her 13-month-old baby, just as she had tried to do with Frank. Detectives reviewed the evidence and came to believe Alicia's death was no accident. Tom Fuller, Angelina's ex, was Alicia's father.
I went 10 years thinking that Alicia's death was an accident. So it was like reliving her death all over again.
Angelina says she did not kill her baby, and she was never charged with that. She did stand trial for the murder of Frank Rodriguez, where a prosecution expert testified that Angelina poisoned Frank at least twice. First with oleander, which made him sick enough to go to the ER, but not to kill him. Then, when she was giving him those fluids the doctor ordered, she was dosing them with antifreeze, which was fatal. The jury found Angelina guilty of first-degree murder for financial gain, but couldn't reach a verdict on whether she tried to kill that witness. And in the sentencing phase, the judge allowed the jury to hear evidence implicating Angelina in her daughter's death. Then the jury agreed on a sentence.
You shall be put to death.
Even while facing a death sentence, Angelina seemed unfazed. She addressed the court, but admitted only to some errors.
I broke and made a few terrible, stupid mistakes, which I regret very much. We all make mistakes. I just picked the wrong time to make mine. But murder is not on that list.
Frank Rodriguez thought Angelina was the God-fearing woman of his dreams. He was wrong. Tom Fuller thought she was a nurturing mother who would protect their daughter. He'll never know for sure if he was lured into a terrible mistake. But Chad Holloway understands. He knows now just how close pure evil came to him. He says he's let it go, with the gratitude that, unlike his friend Frank, he at least survived, with his reputation and his life intact.
People needed to know how evil Angelina was, how many lives she ruined to try to get a little bit of money. And she wasn't gonna stop at nothing until she got what she wanted. And I want Angelina to know, you didn't ruin me. You didn't ruin me at all.
In the Bible, we are warned that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And sometimes, he's pretty good at it.